For an inside look at the state's biggest footy league, it's the Monday Waffle.
Hello, welcome to episode 3 of the Monday Waffle podcast, brought to you by the students of ECU Postgraduate Broadcasting. My name is Jake Batrick. With me in the studio today is the new boy on the block, Jared Lawford. Jared, how you going?
Good, Matey. How are you?
Beautiful. And Jesse Watkins makes a rare appearance for the second week in a row.
Yeah, going back to back, mate.
Beautiful. That's the way we like to do it. Look, we're going to kick straight into the first game. The first game for this podcast, West Perth defeating Perth 22-9, 141-9, 8-62. Look, guys, the Falcons were in cruise control for the majority of the game, eventually running out 79-point winners. Jesse, who were the standout performers for the Falcons?
Mate, there's standout performers everywhere. Just so many. I mean, we look down the goal kicker list alone, and there's over 10 of them. But we'll try and focus on a few. Lowry kicking 6 was a fantastic performance, and then a couple other boys did really well for West Perth. Black, he took 32 possessions, and also had a bit of a screamer as well. A nice big mark going back with the flight, which you always like to see. If I had to give you 3, I'll go with Black, Lowry, and their ruckman, Coonan.
Beautiful, yeah. Chris Coonan he's the veteran of the team. He was Dean Cox-esque over the weekend.
He was all over it. He's 1 goal, 20 disposals, and 50 hit outs.
50 phenomenal. Hits out. You certainly raised the bat on that one. Jared, who played well? I mean, there wasn't a lot of shining lights for the Demons.
No, there wasn't.
Can you give us a couple?
Well, Aidan Tropiano and Liam McKenna, I'd say, were the only resistance that Perth had in their game. Although, I would say Kieran Hugg, he did a brilliant job at tagging Shane Nelson from West Perth. Kept him to a minimal amount of disposals. I mean,
just the 21 touches.
Just the 21 touches, yeah. Shane Nelson, I mean, he was averaging 30 touches every game last year.
30-plus last year. It was just phenomenal by him.
He was unstoppable. So, he did do a good job. But, yeah, it was a sloppy performance. West Perth, they worked it around the boundary line brilliantly, and Perth just couldn't match up their men. So
exactly, yeah. I mean, the West Perth did look to use the boundary, use width as much as they could. They were pretty lucky, I thought, to be up by a goal at quarter time. They were playing pretty ordinary football, a lot of skill errors. You know, they obviously got a spray at quarter time. They came out and kicked 4-5-1 goal in the second quarter. And in the last quarter, 9-2 to finish off the game really strongly. So a really good performance by them. Guys, where to for the Demons? They're winless.
Mate, straight back to the drawing board.
Yeah.
I mean, we say that every week, I think, with the Ds, but they just seem to be out of their... Everyone seems to be out of their league, really. I don't... At this point, after having seen what they've served up so far, I don't see them being competitive with anyone this year.
No, I mean, they almost lost by 100 points to Swan Districts in round one. And then a bit better last week against Souths, only losing by 10 points. But so, yeah, back to the drawing board for the Demons. For the Falcons, they were fantastic. Joining us on the line is West Perth vice-captain Lane Rasmussen. Lane, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm well, thanks. You, Jake?
Yeah, very well. Now, you guys, 80-point winners over the weekend. It's always handy. You had contributors all over the park. You guys would be happy with your performance?
Yeah, it was really good. I thought, yeah, we had a good even spread, and it was good to be able to put a good score on the board and get a bit of a reward for our hard work.
Hi, Lane. Jared Lawford here, mate. Michael Lowry, he was absolutely brilliant. Kicked 6 goals. He's kicked 11 goals in 3 games, and he was recently moved over from Melbourne. How's he settling into the team at the moment?
Yeah, really, really good. Ever since he's come down to training, he's added a good energy to the group, and he's really giving us a target up forward and a good focal point, something that we haven't traditionally had over the last few years that I've been involved at the club. So yeah, he's been great and showed that he was all worthwhile to get him over with a few good goals for us.
Jesse here, mate. I just wanted to ask you guys. You guys got Subi next weekend. Be a bit of feeling in that game after the past couple of weeks.
You'd think so, but we've dealt with all those things internally, and I'm sure they have also. So we're just going into the game, just focusing on what we can control, which is our structure, our game style, and what we bring to the game. So hopefully nothing different to any other week, and hopefully can come away with the win.
And as a club, how do you guys prepare for something like that? I mean, I know last weekend was a bit out of the blue, but like, do the coaching staff sit you down and do you work out a way around it as a team, or does everyone just say, hey guys, let's not get involved?
Yeah, so Bill and the coaching staff are really just emphasising to go about what we can control, really. So that's our intensity, our structures and everything like that. And whatever else happens during the game, that will, it shouldn't affect how we play or anything like that. So hopefully just show them what we can do on the field, and that'll take care of itself.
And do you guys as a group find that a bit hard sometimes to kind of rein that back? Obviously, you're one of the leaders of the team. Is it ever hard to kind of get the guys to reel that passion back in and focus on the game a little bit more than the other team?
Most of the guys in our team, we've got a lot of experience throughout, so I don't think guys are getting too ahead of themselves in terms of building up the game. It's been much more of an outside thing than internal. We're just pretty focused on just trying to beat them. We know they're a pretty strong side, won the premiership last year, so getting the 4 points would be the best reward for us, I think.
Lane Rasmussen, the vice-captain of West Perth, thanks so much for joining us, buddy. Really appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Now, West Perth play Subiaco next week, which is pretty good because, well, it's going to be a lot of feeling in that one given the incident that happened 2 weekends ago. Jesse, who do you reckon is going to get the chocolates?
After seeing the way that the Lions have played against East Perth on the weekend, I can see a lot of weaknesses for them. I mean, they do have a lot of strength, but they lack consistency. I think they lack a bit of a foundation to push off. And the Falcons, both East Perth and West Perth, to me, have looked very consistent. And you know, they just look to be in a really good space to have a proper tilt at the title this year. And the Lions, I don't know whether it's a premiership hangover or anything like that, but just from purely going off what we've just seen from the Lions against East Perth, I think that the Falcons, who are reminding me a little bit of East Perth at the moment, will do a similar job to Subi as what East Perth did. But having said that, they could bounce back and just completely trash them. So they do have the potential to do that. So
exactly. Yeah, I think for West Perth, as we said a couple of weeks ago, they've got the same squad from that premiership winning team a couple of years ago. And look, last year it just didn't work for them. But I think this year they've really started to click. They've brought in Mike Lowry, who's just been phenomenal. I mean, he was... Every time the ball went inside forward 50 on the weekend, he was there at the drop, either taking a mark or creating a contest. So I think the Falcons are just starting to click. But as you said, Subiaco are definitely going to get a kick up the bum this week. They were just awful.
They fell apart. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. They just fell apart against East Perth. So I reckon this is definitely going to be match of the round for sure. Jared, who do you think is going to get the chocolates?
Definitely West Perth. I did happen to see the Subiaco game on the weekend, and yeah, they just fell apart. The second and third quarter, it was just like their fitness just left them. They couldn't match up on any of the players from East Perth. East Perth found it easy just to find space, just to run through the corridors and just set up easy inside 50s, whereas Subiaco, every time they got it inside their forward 50, it just looked rushed and all over the place, and they were just taking rush shots on goal. I think I saw only one or two marks inside their 50 where they were going for a set shot on goal.
But do you not think that, I mean, watching that, I get the same impression from Subiaco as well, but I think it was more of just a really comprehensive performance from
East Perth.
Yeah, that just put Subi under that pressure. Maybe they weren't expecting it. Like, I think maybe Subi just got a bit deer in the headlights because Easts were so good.
I
think, like, to be honest with you, I mean, I've watched all of the East Perth games so far this season, and they are looking like a very well-drilled team. I mean, I'm a bit biased. Go to the Royals, but they just look so well drilled. They just know what they're doing. They never panic. They're just all over it. And I think that just put Subi so far under the pump. I don't think Subi played poorly. I think East Perth forced them.
They
to
were
play
phenomenal.
Poorly.
Yeah. Yeah, they were brilliant. I mean, Subiaco, they're a team that surges. I mean, they had fantastic quarters against East Fremantle the previous week. In the second and third quarter, they just blew them away.
Yeah, I think it was an 8-goal third quarter from Subi, which, I mean, as we were saying, for consistency, you want to be seeing that over four quarters, obviously not 7 goals, but, I mean, East Perth kicked 5 goals in the first, 5 goals in the second, and then 4 goals in the third. So, I mean, it's consistent goal kicking from East Perth. And, I mean, Subi kicked 1 goal in the second quarter and were just absolutely stunned. So,
yeah, Subiaco's defenders look like they're in a lot of strife against East Perth as well. And they're certainly going to have their work cut for them when they're playing up against Michael Lowry, who's in red-hot form. Cody Manning and Andrew Strike kicked 2 goals each as well. So they're in good form as well. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting match. I don't think they're going to be embracing each other with hugs and kisses over the events of the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be an absolute firecracker of a game. And we'll keep you posted in next week's podcast on the result of that one.
I'm Dennis Cometti. If I'm listening to the Monday Waffle, then you should be too.
Joining us again this week is Channel 7's Mark Reddings. Mark, how are we?
Terrific. Hopefully everyone had a really good Easter.
Now, Mark, Channel 7 broadcasts the Good Friday clash between Subiaco and East Perth. A lot of people didn't see the Rules 10-goal win coming, did they?
No, certainly not Subiaco after winning their first 2 games of the year. In fact, in the first 10 minutes, the Lions looked very impressive. And East Perth, by quarter time, though, has established a 3-goal buffer. So really impressed with some of the Eagles who played for the Royals on Friday. Murray Newman kicked 4 goals. Grant College with 3 goals, but also about 38 possessions was terrific for them. So a lot to like about what East Perth did. Obviously, they were disappointed with their first up showing against East Fremantle. But a big win, 30 scoring shots to 16, means that the Royals don't have exact revenge from last year's grand final, because that's impossible to take back, but they'll be pretty happy with the job they did on the Lions on Good Friday, which gives them a nice lead-in to what will be a bye, and they'll get Paul Johnson back after which, and if you're an East Perth supporter, you'd be pretty comfortable with what you saw on Friday afternoon.
Hi, Mark. Jared here. Brant College, he was absolutely incredible. His contested possessions were very impressive. He ended up with 36 disposals and 2 goals. Now, he's only 20 years of age. Do you think he's going to get another call up to West Coast?
Oh, look, Jared, I would have thought so, given what happened to the Eagles on Saturday night at Etihad Stadium. And I was really impressed by Brant College. And when you get to sit and watch a full game and see that you can produce those sorts of numbers, you'd have to think that the Eagles' midfield is one area that they're a bit deficient in. And if he can step up to the plate at AFL level, he's had a few injuries over the past couple of years, but he's certainly a player that I'm sure Adam Simpson will be looking at really closely, if not for Friday's game against Carlton, certainly going forward, because the Eagles lack a bit of class in their midfield, taking out Matt Prittis and some good solid workers, but really College might be that young man just to come in there to give them better depth.
Yeah, Jesse here, Mark. I just wanted to ask you quickly about Subiaco. Is this a turning point for them? Are they not the team that they were last year, or do you think this will just be a blip on the radar that is this season?
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought you'd take too much out of Friday. That was a bad performance. They're a lot better than that. I mean, to kick 7 goals, 9. They kicked 2 in the first 10 minutes or so. Look, Subiaco will be a strong side again. They've won their first 2 games. But as Jared Schofield suggested, he wasn't all that happy leading into the match with what they'd produced in the first 2 victories. So a bit of a wake-up call more than anything. East Perth, if they get their Eagles players back on a regular basis and they can have some continuity with the squad they have, then they're going to be pretty competitive. East Fremantle, of course, up there as well. They were shock losers to Peel on the weekend. So it's a pretty even competition in that top bracket. There's a big difference between the best sides and the worst. But Subiaco, I think, will find themselves, given it's a top five, I think they'll find themselves well and truly inside that top echelon come the start of September.
Beautiful. Mark Reddings from Channel 7, thank you so much for joining us, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Thanks, mate.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Peel Thunder got their first win of the season, winning 15 goals, 14-104 over the East Fremantle Sharks, 6 goals, 13-49. Finally, the Peel Thunder have got a win, a good win. They were absolutely dominant. I know a lot of Peel fans are very excited after this game. The Thunder kept the Sharks goalless in the second and third quarters, just absolutely dominated. J-Rad, who were the main contributors for the Thunder?
Lockie Weller. He was brilliant. He got 22 possessions and 3 goals. But I think the king force in this match for Peel, Jonathan Griffin in the ruck, 35 hit-outs, 6 inside 50s. He was unstoppable. He was amazing in that match. Tendai Mazungu, 25 disposals. So he'll get the call up for Fremantle, I'm guessing, next week as well. So he had a great match. Good to see him back from his hamstring injury.
A couple of Dockers were amongst the goal kickers. Matt Tabanar kicked 4. Lockie Weller kicked 3. And Hayden Crozier chimed in with 2. So pretty awesome performance from them. I think it's very exciting for the Peel Thunder. I think this year, with the Dockers being, you know, chasing a premiership, we're going to see a lot of these fringe Dockers players getting a game for the Thunder. I found out today by you, Jesse, that Peel had never played in a final series.
Yeah.
Since they were founded in 1997.
Yeah, first, let's see, this season maybe they can make the Thunder the finals for the first time this year. But, mate, Peel, we're not having a good relationship this year. They've screwed up my tips every single week so far. backed them last week, they didn't help me out, so I didn't back them this week, and they've screwed me over, so... Can't wait till they have the bye and I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, they threw me under the bus as well.
I just realised I changed my tip from Peel to East Rio.
Last minute.
So I'm an idiot. Yeah.
Yeah, we're all idiots.
They've been messing with everyone and we don't appreciate it. But no, they did play very well this weekend, and it's a bit rough for old East Rio because they didn't have many contributors anywhere. They didn't have any multiple goal kickers at all, which is never a good sign. I mean, you like to have an even spread across the park, but you like to see the higher numbers against a couple of the boys' names. The one, I won't say shining light, but the one good performance that came from East Frio was McNamara with 30 disposals. So he did quite well, but yeah, not a lot else to say about the Sharks.
I mean, when your captain Rory O'Brien gets 19 touches against his former side, so you would have thought he was up and about for that game. You're going to be in for a tough day at the office, J-Rad. Peel Thunder travel to Lathlain Park next week to play the Perth Demons. Surely the Thunder can make it 2 in a row.
Yeah, I think they can do it again. Perth, their form isn't looking good at all. Peel, after this match, they look brilliant. So, yeah, it'll be good to see the match next week. I think they can get over the line quite easily.
Mm. And I'm Jesse. East Frio host Claremont. Another potential game of the round. These two sides are struggling.
Yeah, it's a tough one to call. I mean, after what Peel did to East Frio this weekend, it's hard to tell whether East Frio will bounce back or whether they are just not up with the rest. I think I'm going to go with Claremont for this one, just because of East Frio's performance on the weekend wasn't up to scratch, and Claremont looking travelling well at the moment.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think East Frio came out of the blocks firing. They smashed East Perth, which was, I think we've all forgotten about, because that was quite a phenomenal game. East Frio doing the Royals over there. Claremont have had a tough run of it so far, so...
Yeah, I think they're a better team than what the game on the weekend reflected. I mean, South Fremantle are a very good side.
Yep.
And Claremont have come off the bye, so they're a bit underdone. And I think they will get up a lot better than East Fremantle this week.
From the studios of ECU, you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
the Easter round of waffle action got underway on Good Friday. South Fremantle played host to Claremont at Fremantle Oval with over 3,000 people in attendance, where the Bulldogs managed to defeat the Tigers 12-19-91 to 8-5-53. The win for the Bulldogs means that they remain unbeaten, now having won three straight matches to open a season for the first time since 2006. They're also on an eight-game winning run dating back to the end of last season. It was a commanding performance by South Fremantle, with them having 31 scoring shots to just 13 from Claremont, while racking up 117 more possessions and 22 more entries inside the forward 50. Standout performances came from Ben Saunders, Ashton Hams, James Seller and Corey DeLolio, who all kicked two goals apiece for the Dogs. Hayden Schloyth was carried from the ground on a stretcher, grimacing in pain after rolling his ankle at the 19-minute mark of the final quarter, which was a disappointing end to the night for the ex-Fremantle squad member, who gathered 24 possessions, 3 tackles and 4 inside 50s. After missing the previous week's win over Perth, Hams came back into the team and finished with a fantastic 31 possessions and 5 inside 50s. Jared Parry, Corey DeLolio and Chris Luff played their first games of the season, Luff making his South Fremantle debut after crossing over from Peel. The Bulldogs' defence was also outstanding, with Adam McIntosh holding Ian Richardson goalless, Dylan Ross keeping Hayden Busher and Brandon Fran scoreless, and then Marlon Pickett putting in a tremendous performance as an attacking defender, snagging 25 possessions. Brock Higgins worked tirelessly in the ruck for the Dogs and finished with a solid 20 possessions, 22 hitouts, and 5 inside 50s. For the Tigers, Shane McAdam had a strong performance, kicking 3 goals. Tom Ledger worked hard for Claremont, finishing with a team high of 25 possessions. And Kiefer Yu also performed well, finishing up with 18 touches to go with his 5 tackles, 3 inside 50s and a goal. This was Josephine McDonald for the Monday Waffle.
If you like footy, you'll love us. It's the Monday Waffle.
So last week saw Nicole on top of the tipping ladder with Jared, Josh, each on 4 points. And then it was myself, Jesse and Mark on 3 and Claire and Josie running out the bottom on 2 points. This week it has changed a little bit. Jesse, you got 3. So that moves you equal top on 6 points. Jared, you got...
I could have had 3.
You could have had 3. You did change it last minute, but that's okay. It's better for me because...
Yeah, it's working in my favour.
So Jesse, Jared and Josh is all on 6 points on top of the ladder. Nicole drops down to second.
She's
on
had
5.
A shocker of a week there.
Mm.
And then there's myself. I got 1 tip right this week, so that was absolutely dismal.
Did we say Nicole got 4 in the first week and 1 in the second week?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. So obviously right across her football is Nicole. Yeah,
she's a shocker.
So it's myself, Josie and Claire just holding up the bottom of the ladder on 4 points. Yeah, so this week we've all tipped the same. We've all tipped Claremont to get over the line against East Frio, Peel to beat Perth, South Fremantle to beat Swan Districts, and West Perth to get over the line against Subiaco. So all the away teams this week. So I have a gut feeling there will be an upset or two.
Yeah,
week.
I think this is the round that I'm the least comfortable with tipping, which doesn't bode well because I'm the best I've got so far is 3. So it can only it's only going downhill.
Well, yeah, I'd love to do better than one tip right this week.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, guys. Absolutely ripping show. Thanks to Jared and Jesse for joining me in the studio this week. That's all we've got time for. So join us for next week's podcast for the Monday Waffle.